The Two Man Game Podcast is brought to you by Renaissance Insurance, Ryan Hicks.
What's up, guys? It's head coach of the Bears, Steve Smiley, and I'm honored to tell KFKA listeners all about my guy, Ryan Hicks, and Renaissance Insurance. Like basketball, there's plenty of players in the insurance game. So how do you choose the best one for you? For me, I look for character, passion, dedication, and like a star Hoover, talent. Renaissance Insurance checks all the boxes and draws up the winning play every time. Let them find the perfect game plan for you. Call Ryan at 970-674-8825 or go to team-rig.com. Go Bears!
Welcome in to another edition of the Two-Man Game with UNC head coach Steve Smiley. I am Brady Hull. Coach, hey, first off, I just saw the big news about Madden, Smiley. We gotta talk about that.
Sure. Man.
Wow, congrats. That's awesome.
Well, I'll even take it a step further, not to hijack the show, but it's good that we didn't start with the music, right? Because this is truly shows we're in the off season.
We're in the off season now.
So I think that
I've got a bunch of random questions to ask you too.
That was well played. No music.
I should have came in with like some Windsor Wizards.
No, they don't need that much. But but I'm glad that we didn't play the music because it does show the line. I actually had some people saying, you guys still doing the podcast? I'm like, yeah. I was down this week in Sunday Madden playing this thing called The Show, and there's some people that are listening to our show, and they were like, well, are you guys still doing the show? Because it was Brock's last episode. I said, yes. Yeah. This is the two-man game. What was Coach Lamb? What's his called?
Football 52.
52.
So which like, it can't be Football 52 because he missed last week. So,
Man.
Football 51 now.
But the idea of 52 weeks, that, hey, we just keep rolling with
just keep
time.
Going.
And so, like, yeah, I'm glad that people are asking about it. I'm glad there's no music. It shows the moving on to the start of the rebuild the next season, which is complicated. But, yeah, before we get to that, very cool family news with Young Madden getting the 5A Player of the Year. And, you know, sometimes you don't want to take the stuff for granted for him, right? And he's been the one that's earned it. He's done such a great job. And I'm really proud of that young dude. But when you get it the previous year, you don't want to take it for granted. Like, there's no guarantee he's going to get it, especially with them not winning the championship. And, you know, he and I talked about it. I tried to brace him. Like, hey, who knows if you get it or not? The other obvious options would have been the Lutheran kid, and they won the championship. Kate Speckman, who's a great player and going to Indiana State. I mean, this is a legitimately really good player. Great player. I was telling about the guy from Mullen, the big guy that's going to. What football team is he going to?
You brought this up.
The Mason Bonner kid. And he was first. So these first team All-State guys,
yeah,
Mason Bonner, Mullen. Search real quick. Mason Bonner, Mullen football.
We looked it up, but
I think it's Michigan. I think he's going to Michigan.
I think you're right.
So, like, there were some really – and he had, like, 28 a game. He was a great player in basketball. I think he's a Michigan football player. So you got a Indiana State guy.
Michigan, right?
Look at all
these offers he had. It's crazy.
And an awesome basketball player, too. Blew me away when I saw, you know, Windsor play those guys. And then, you know, so it's like, hey, you never know. But at the same point, he won it last year, Madden did, and he rightfully won it. I don't think there was even a remotely, you know, conversational second. Maybe I'm wrong about that. But then he won it, and then he took his game this year to a whole nother level, like statistically even, with all the box and ones and the trial twos and all the different stuff they were doing. Madden jumped from like 20 to 25 a game. He jumped up rebounding wise. He shot almost 40% from three, shot almost 70% from two. He had an unbelievable year. So he's sitting like, man, I won it last year, you know, and I took my game to another level. There's no way I don't win. It's like, hey, you never know. Like, and you can't control these things. But I was very happy that he won. I was very proud of him. You know, very deserving. And it's really cool, like back-to-back 5A player of the year. It's awesome,
it's
right?
It's amazing, so, Coach. Like,
you're really proud of that dude, man.
Yeah,
and he puts a lot of time that people don't see, and just, you know, what people don't know too is like, you know, the recovery, the preparation. I'm not saying he's a nutrition guru, but he's learning and he's into it. And like, you know, the ice bath, we had this little ice bath thing that the wife got about 3 years ago is our family Christmas gifts. And she's like, I don't think anyone's going to like it. And that thing popped up like, that's a great idea.
How long can you go in that ice bath? Can you do that?
Oh, yeah, we can get it out 340 times three. That's what we do. Now, when we started doing it, I didn't know. So I'd submerge myself all the way to the neck for like 12 minutes. And then our trainer, the great Maddie, she's like, do not do that because when you're below your neck and your heart rate in that like 50 degree water for too long, it can become problematic.
Mm-hmm.
So I go 340 standing. Okay. So it's, you're hitting them just above your knees. And it's just this little pod. It's not like we have this huge bed. It's just this little pod.
Yeah.
But it fits. 340 kneeling. So now you get up to like, you know, above your waist, which, you know, which is, as we get old, man, like I'm starting to learn like in like the, the recovery of just the joints and stuff. But then I do the 340 up to the neck. I sit in that thing, 340.
For 3 minutes and 40 seconds up to the neck. Wow.
Painful. Love it. Love it.
Well, and you probably feel like $1 million when you're out of
that. That's the whole point. Yeah. So
is it pretty like painful as you're going through it, or are you getting used to it?
No, it takes your breath away in every capacity. And we get that thing as cold as we can. And so he does all that stuff. So does my daughter,
Avery. Yeah. I mean, were you like that when?
No, we didn't have any of that stuff.
And now your kids are like,
I didn't know. We didn't have the stuff. Yeah. So like, you know, these guys are blessed to have some of those toys, but you still got to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, you know, and just rest and sleep and just all the different things. So he's still, you know, at the phase of like, there's so much growth. Like, I'm so excited for him to get to Wyoming, and he's chomping at the bit because I can't wait to see what his frame looks like after he gets Division I lifting and this and that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the speed agility stuff, shout out to Simple Speed and Windsor. They both do it, but they've been doing that from a young age. And Madden was, I wouldn't say he's clumsy, but he was an awkward mover, you know, at a young age. And Paul at Simple Speed got his hands on him at an early age. And it's worth every dollar we've ever invested into it because it changed him athletically and our daughter too. But you got to do it.
Yeah.
You got, it's hard. Like, he's doing it 2 times a week right now and ramping up, and it's not easy. But he's paid the price that people just like, oh, he's just a good player. Like, there's so much that goes into this stuff.
Well, yeah. And that's the thing. Like, you mentioned it. You can have all the things available to you. You can have the ice baths now.
Sure.
We know a lot more about the body in 2026 than we did.
That's right.
In 86.
I was the guy that had those strength shoes with the platforms, right?
Oh, yeah.
And then,
like,
all of a sudden, like, you know, it sounded so cool. And you're like up on your toes and trying to get these vertical jumps, you know, trying to increase an inch on your vertical, which is great. But then 2 weeks later, you got massive shin splints because the technology wasn't good.
I even think back to, like, remember those balance bracelets that they were, like, throwing out? I'm like, that would be great for sports.
It makes no sense.
You're never going to fall down.
That's right. And so, like, what is voodoo magic and what is real? Like, we're also learning that stuff, right?
But you still have to do it.
You still, like,
the lifting now, we know guys aren't just going in and doing curls until their arms are exhausted. They know what lifts are going to help them dependent upon their position that they're playing.
Yeah, and obviously we get deep in the weeds. I had my yearly physical on Monday. I told you I can't do this pod. It was like a week ago. I thought I had to change it. And you're like, I hope you're okay. No, it's just my weekly or my annual physical.
Check on the heart, right?
But like, I did the fasting 2 weeks earlier before I did the blood work, right? So you got to fast for like 12 hours or whatever. But like, I did it so that I could wake up and get into my doctor and do my blood work and stuff. So you go through all the stuff and it's so cool. My doc, he's got 10, we've been here 10 years. He's got 10 years of data. He's like, any point in time of a blood work, a blood pressure, a heart rate, it's just one point in time, right? Like, your blood pressure today might be something, then 8 hours later it might be different, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's in a nutshell, in a vacuum, it's great. It's still a snapshot, but we have 10 years of this. So we were looking through all the stuff and it's great. Like, I feel healthy and everything's good, but it's like you can kind of go through like your BMIs and your pounds and this and that. It's the same thing. Like, we just have so much more information, but you still got to do it if it's important to you.
Sure. Yeah.
And so, you know, as you get to him and to our players too, one, when the season ends, you do need to rest. Like, I truly, like, get away from it. And if you want to go shoot, great. If you want to lift, great, because that's something you want to do. But, like, get away from it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that these, especially at the Division I level, these things are so intense for so long. June through March, 150 practices, 30 to 40 games, right? So now we're up to 200, right? And which is great. Like, that's why this level is great, and that's why these guys get better and develop. And that doesn't even count all the film work and all the travel, like all the different stuff. But take some time, right? Heal the body, heal the joints. So anyways, as we babble on, like, yeah, it's cool. It's cool for young Matt, and he's super excited. It's a good, you know, kind of wrapping a bow on that high school career.
Phenomenal.
And,
it's bittersweet for me because it's like awesome to have him and your daughter too, like local stories.
For sure.
But he's getting ready to go be a local story in Wyoming now. Here at the station, we've dabbled with covering Wyoming a little bit.
Yeah.
Obviously Sundance helps that. But I think this is going to change a lot of it because we're going to be pushing a little bit harder.
That'd be cool. Wyoming. Yeah. Absolutely. So yeah, no, it's time. And
for you, it's going to be interesting because Avery, obviously with the Bears.
Yep.
That's going to be easy for you to go watch volleyball games.
Oh, yeah.
For Madden, it'll be a little difficult because the Mount West schedule and the Big Sky schedule, they're obviously different.
They're different.
But it would be crazy timing. And
I was able to bring him up to a couple games. I brought him up to the Border War against CSU this year. And yeah, like, our non-cons are obviously different. Everything's sporadic. And then I don't know because their league's changing too. Who knows with the teams leaving, the teams coming in. But like, we're very consistent typically on the Thursday, Saturday. They're a little bit different where it's like usually Wednesday, Saturday, but like with TV schedules, because they do have some national stuff with like CBS Sports and things like that, that there's some Tuesdays. Like it's, I think, a possibility to see a good chunk, you know. And I think it's great. You know, obviously, it's an hour and a half drive, and that part's beautiful.
Yeah, no question. And I hope, you know, in the with Wyoming on their basketball side of things, because I know you guys are trying to grow that fan base, get people out to those games. Wyoming's certainly in a weird spot, too. Football, they don't seem to have an issue with that. But when it comes to basketball,
it's interesting.
Weather
it's
just, and all that stuff. I mean, you know about that. So
the beautiful thing in Wyoming is it's the only D1 in the state, so everyone does truly support it. Everyone cares. Getting butts in seats can be hard because Laramie's not huge, 20, 30, whatever it is. It's not 100, it's like 20 or 30,000 people, so it's not a big town. Then there are the factors up there. The weather's so crazy that I-80, you know, gets shut down all the time in the winter. And then people coming up from the north because it's in the southeast part of the state. I mean, when those blizzards and stuff hit, it's hard. It's just hard to get there. So I understand that the challenges, but yeah, they're trying to do everything they can, just like we are in terms of, you know, student engagement, and Sonny's nuts. And so he's all over the place and he's doing things that we're trying to do too. And that's all you can do.
All right. So speaking of Sundance, Coach, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
At some point we're going to get him in here.
Oh, yeah,
we talked
easy.
About that. It's going to happen. I want to talk about attire today.
Attire. Sure, okay.
Because this is who I think I would be if I were a coach.
Sure.
I would probably dress just like you.
Yeah.
Do the, you know, the more comfortable, are they sweats, are they slacks? They're kind of in that mix.
Yeah.
And then the quarter zip kind of deal sometimes, right? Is that what you're
exactly
doing most of the time?
Right.
And that's what I would go with.
Really like the golf pants.
Yes.
You know, the matching
They're
golf
comfortable,
pants.
But they look good.
Absolutely.
I'd go in that route. Sundance goes a different direction.
Yeah. And like he has, you know, he's nuts. On the road, I think he does kind of what we do.
I've seen him in what
degree.
You were in before.
Yeah, he does it. It's not always a suit, but like, same point in time, he likes to wear the suit sometimes. And there are still coaches that do it. And, I'm not like we do that Coaches vs. Cancer where we do the suits. It's
yes.
kind of fun. I'll tell you this though. The way we travel, okay, and this gets into our, like, even our budget. We are pushing as much as we can for carry-on bags. And like now Southwest has changed. It used to be free, two free bags. Well, they've changed their model, right? It's not like A-list and lineup A's, A1 through C. Things have changed. And honestly, we are evaluating, is Southwest the best option for us to fly next year? It was always the best option because it was a cheap enough ticket. And then we could do as many check bags as we want. So then, yeah, hey, yeah, check your bag, whatever. Well, now if you're like United or anyone else, Delta, every check bag is $50. It's a big deal, but guess what? So is Southwest now. Mm-hmm. Why am I bringing this up? Because in the old school days, when we'd go play two games and it was the pre-quarter zip and pants,
yep.
It was suits. So you're packing your suit. You're not packing two suits. You're packing your suit, two shirts, two ties, and you gotta be efficient. But still, it's way more luggage in the suit era. Now,
oh yeah, sure.
Now it's much easier to pack, you know, your two golf pants and whatever. And Coach Klope on our staff, he sends out the text 2 days before, this is what we're bringing on the road. Cool. So even honestly, this sounds crazy, but because we don't charter. When you're chartering, you put as many bags on that plane as you want. We are commercial and we are factoring. Do we carry on or do we check a bag? That's where this thing gets to. And so for us, economically, we're absolutely not going to wear suits.
Mm-hmm.
Makes no sense. Philosophically, I still think I like the way we do it. I think it looks too for us. Like I think it looks really professional because everyone's matched up in the same thing.
Yeah, and it's an athletic event, and so I always think it looks. It just seems to make more sense that way.
I think it makes sense too. But yeah, like the era we all grew up in was shirts and ties and suits and this and that. I'm not anti it, but I've also really enjoyed moving to this new phase, and I think our staff really appreciates it.
Was
too.
It 2020 when we all kind of started to see that? Too?
Probably.
So like
yeah.
Right when you started.
Yeah, we were wearing suits with Coach Leonard. Yeah, it was 2019. We were wearing suits, and then 2020. But then when you get the year after COVID, when like they actually let us play games, there was no fans.
Mm-hmm.
Why
so
are
like,
we
just
wearing
wear whatever, man?
Why are we wearing suits? No one's even here. So then it's like then it got to the point like, hey, the NBA guys, right? Those guys aren't wearing suits. What are we doing? Right? Are
yeah.
we taking this too serious? Like, in the sense of, like, the NBA guys are wearing matching quarter zips with, like, and it looks good.
Yeah.
So that's where at least a lot of this has gotten to.
I always wonder about, especially NBA, but also college, like, for Sundance, like, how many suits does he have, you think? Like, does he have enough for each game? Or,
oh, we're getting deep into
the
weeds.
Or are we mixing and matching a little bit, so it looks different?
Now, he's got a Mountain West paycheck, so maybe I'm speaking differently now. But I'd say that he was my roommate.
Yeah.
He was the master of, and we'll have to tag him on this one.
Yeah, this
would
be good.
He was the master in our rooms, in our closets, of not having more than you think. He just knew how to match and pair the stuff. He's always been a style guy, right? He always loves style.
Definitely get that sense from him.
But like, even like, it's funny, like, I bought a suit from his stylist, you know, his suit guy who's in Atlanta. And the guy's name is, you know, we call him JFL. And JFL, affordable, but very good. And so like, you'd go to like, Jose Bank or whatever and you get your measurements. And then you send those down to Jerry in Atlanta. And so he'd send these options. Okay, what are you talking about? Are you talking about the $100, $200 suits? You're talking about the the $2,000 suits? Like he does it all. And I don't know if something still goes through my guy Jerry, but he did connect. I've got a suit from Jerry. And so he would look at the stuff and he would be able to kind of pair things together. Point being, I don't think he's like, our guy in casino, you know, when De Niro, when you walk into De Niro's closet and casino, got 98 Italians.
Right. Yes.
I don't think that's it. Maybe it is now. I don't know. I haven't been to his house in a year or so. But it's more so like very intricate mixing and matching, very detailed in what he does. And he just loves it. It's just part of who he is. He loves it, and that's part of the.
Oh, I was bringing it up.
His aura.
I saw it wasn't like a heated thing, but he was talking about it with somebody on X, you know, and then he was sharing pictures of him on the sidelines with the suit. And don't get me wrong, the dude can wear it. He looks good.
Yeah.
Like he looks good, but he also still. Like he's at an athletic event. There are some people that you look at in suits, and maybe it's like they're a little oversized. The suits are a little oversized. I know that was the era, man. That was the time.
We can get even deeper into that. I was just talking to my good friend David Motes. He's an assistant at Virginia Tech. So when I was at Weber State, Randy Ray, Eric Duft, Smiley. I'm just kind of going in order of how this thing was synchronized. Garrett Lever, who's Fat Lever's son. He was an awesome dude. David Motes. Was our ops guy. So, we're all in different phases of this coaching journey and Garrett actually got out of it. He lives in Phoenix. He's crushing it down in a different world, but we were all such good friends. And, you know, Coach Ray was kind of in his own world. So it was like, you know, Duff and myself and we called him Red. David Motes was Red. And then Garrett Lever was G-Man Lever. So like those guys had been in the Division I world. I was moving in from the JUCO world and this extremely poor coach world. And I had poor coach suits. I had the baggiest, grossest suits.
Oh, yeah. Man.
And I had no interest in upgrading. And so, like, these dudes would kill me. And they're still, like, in our little text threads. And, like, even some of the old school Weber guys. Shout out to my guy Frank Otis, who's a Weber legend. He make fun of my suits, man. And there's still these pictures circling around. I was that guy. In the over.
All right, I gotta see.
You could probably even Google Smiley. I don't know, Steve Smiley shared in college. And you're gonna see some suits that are so astronomically baggy. But you know what? It's a badge of honor to me. Like, hey, this is what it was.
Most of, like, when you Google, man, you're looking sharp. I'm not seeing
that,
any.
Flip that laptop over. I know people can't see this stuff, but like, yeah, I mean,
there's kind of an interesting suit, but like most of the stuff, you look pretty good.
Yeah, you have to go deeper in the archives. But like, yeah, there are. There are some suits that were just, I mean, they were cheapo. And there was a spot in Rapid City. The first time I bought two suits is at the Rapid City Mall. I was an assistant coach for Paul Sather.
Oh, here we go.
At Black Hills State. Yeah, you're going to find some stuff. Yep.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
And
got a little room to breathe right there.
Absolutely. And so my wife and I got the job at Black Hills State as an assistant coach making $7,000. I repeat, $7,000. And then I got the $10,000 stipend to coach on the Air Force Base, coach master's, or because I had my master's, my MBA, coaching the military personnel in Rapid City. I was like, I need to go get some suits. And Paul Sather's the most laid-back dude in the world. He's like, hey, dude, you know, but we're going to wear suits. So I'm like, I got to look professional. So there was a suit store in the Rapid City Mall. I still remember the stuff. And it was like two for one. It's like two for 100 bucks or something. And I thought it'd be smart. Like, this is how dumb I am. Like, you probably need like a black suit. Maybe a gray suit, maybe a blue suit. It's kind of what you start.
Yeah.
Nah, man. I went with the olive green and I went with, cause we were green and gold and I went with this like kind of beige, khaki tan. I don't know what you call the thing. My first two suits was this like green And then it was like this kind of beige khaki thing. I thought I was on top of the world. And again, like, that's what I love about these stories.
It's
It's just so fun to talk about this stuff. But
The tough part about those kind of suits, like, they stand out. So it's hard to rewear mismatch and do all that.
Right.
If you just get like a black suit, okay, all you got to do is change out the shirt.
That's right.
Nobody's going to have a clue.
And you can get to the time too. Like, even like, it's funny going back to like Madden and Avery, and I can help Madden more than her, but I'm like, you know, we should probably get you like a suit, and we can get a pretty cheap, like, you can get a pretty high quality suit in some of these department stores for pretty minimal money at these point in times. But like, just to be able to dress professionally and things like that. So, but, I don't want to wear suits at all the games. In the Big Sky with the Big Sky Travel, I don't expect myself or our staff.
And that's a great point, bringing
or
up the
budget.
Travel.
Our budget. Like, you know, I'll still never forget. I packed 3 suits at Weber State my second year when we won it. I had 3 separate suits, and I kept my best suit for, like, if we make the championship, I'm wearing my best suit because that's going to be an ESPN.
Yeah.
And it happened. But it's 3 suits, and we actually busted from Ogden, Utah to Reno. It wasn't in Boise. It was in Reno, Nevada, was where the Big Sky Championships were.
Mm-hmm.
And I busted. I say, hey, if we get to the championship, I need to have my best look, right? Like, so those things are on your mind.
Oh, yeah, sure.
All the way through. So it's funny talking about these things because those things do matter. But then it gets, like, the budget, like – we don't have the budget to expect our staff to bring extra bags, to bring suits and shirts and ties and dress shoes. That's just not what this is. So you got to be smart.
And when you said Klopfel, like he's
our
guy that's like, hey, here's what we're wearing for this journey.
And Klopfel always sends it out 2 days before. He's such a creature habit. He says, for the early Packers, this is what we're going with.
That's great, man.
And he always says, unless there are any objections. And there's never been an objection. But there's issues too. Like we only had one pair of really nice gray golf pants. And a shout out to Coach Colin Goss. He broke a pin in his pants. And he's like, hey, we can't wear those anymore because they're ruined.
Oh.
So like the gray got removed. It's like we were kind of wearing the same thing. Like, what are we doing?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the staff meeting, and Colin's like, well, you know, my golf pants. I broke a pin.
That was where the
adult,
yeah.
And then, you know, there's always a scandal with Coach Reed. He's like, hey, because he spills on everything. You know, it spills everything, like coffee and just what. So there's scandals with, you know, maybe his shirt. Like, hey guys, I can't wear the all white because it's ruined. And I tried to bleach it, but so like there are issues, and they go back to the budget. Like we can't just go buy 8 new shirts,
right?
Like, yeah, and it's just funny kind of going through this stuff. But yeah, there's scandals for sure.
Have you ever had a mismatch? Like a guy, you know, he's got the rules, but he just accidentally put the wrong pair of pants in there.
Well, watch our first round game in the Big Sky tournament if you're bored. There was a mismatch.
I'm going to be paying attention.
We all had the same polo except for Coach Reed. I didn't ask him about it.
Okay.
It was a similar color, but I believe we all had the same polo but Coach Reed. And I just started laughing, man. Like, you got to have some fun with this.
Nobody
stuff.
Said anything. You're just kind of like, right, no, we know what happened.
I'm sure there was a stain or a miscommunication or something, but like, obviously we want to look, you know, in sync and, you know, coordinated. I think it's a great look. I enjoy it. And I think the fact that the NBA guys do it, that's what you see too. Like, and then now, I mean, 90% of college guys do it, but there are outliers like Sonny. There are outliers. Obviously, you can just see Patino, you see, Caliper, like those guys are wearing it, but, now, those guys are wearing, you know, $10,000, $20,000 Italian suits.
Sure.
We ain't got it like that.
Yeah, well, and it's like the red carpet thing now that they're walking through. Coach, one thing, speaking of the NBA, I was thinking about you. I'm getting a little annoyed on the NBA side. I keep seeing friends of ours, like altitude folks, they're awesome.
Sure.
But we keep complaining about these back-to-backs for the Nuggets. And it sucks. Like, I get it.
It's not easy.
And the Nuggets have more
than
those.
They won last night.
And I expected them to.
Yeah, they needed to.
Even though it was their 16th or 15th back-to-back, whatever. Everybody does it. Yes, the Nuggets have more than everybody this year, but it won't be the case next year. Plus, they have one extra because there was a Memphis cancellation, so they make that. I get it. I'm tweeting out my whole synopsis of how I feel about this, and I'm like, and I didn't bring you up personally, but I just said, I know one coach that had to deal with a flooded locker room at one stage and just handled it.
Yep.
You guys just handled it. So I keep hearing like, oh, they're head to pillow at 3 a.m. I'm like, dude, until you talk to these coaches, I know you're not playing as many games, but there's travel stories that you have where you're like, I don't even know if we're actually going to make it to our destination.
Well, I do think like, and I've seen those too, I do think like with the NBA, people think, And it is. It's world class. It's the best. But still, one thing I didn't realize talking to some of those people in those worlds a little bit, whether it's assistant coaches, sometimes I know some of those people that travel with the team or whatever it is, and I'm not just talking about the Nuggets, just in general, is I didn't realize sometimes that, yeah, like, they don't get to their hotel till 4 in the morning. I was talking to Coach Sprinkle, who's the head coach at Washington.
Yeah.
Sprinks was, he's a good friend of mine. He was at Montana State. They went to Utah State. And he was talking about the difficulties in the Big Ten, right? And we all hear about the stuff that they're playing Rutgers or whatever it is. And he's like, there have been times where we've had to refuel our charter jet at like 1 in the morning. He goes, it takes like an issue signal playing for like an hour that we're gassing up in somewhere in the Midwest. We aren't getting back to our place until 5 in the morning. That is like, you wouldn't assume that, right? Because of the geographic distance. So I do understand, but I will say, like, I don't feel bad for anybody because what we've done. And
yeah,
if you get bored, look at some of McCollum's tweets recently. People, oh, you know, you don't get quite as much rest as Nebraska in this game coming up. And he says, he's like, this level's so bougie.
Mm.
And he talks about it.
Yeah.
He's like, this level's so bougie. And it's like Ben McCollum, like it just hit yesterday or today. He's like, this is ridiculous. Like I've been a D2 coach at Northwest Missouri State. I've been, you know what I mean? Like no one understands, like, okay, yeah, they get 8 more hours of rest. It's not that big of a deal. And then Underwood came out too. And questioning, well, you know, are you worried that you're playing Houston and Houston? And Underwood just came out today. He's like, look, man, I've been a JUCO coach where you drive the bus from Dodge City to wherever and you get out, you got to go play. He's like, yeah. I'm not like, I'm just not wired that way. And so I love when these guys at the biggest levels push back a little bit because it is like everyone's got difficulties and this and that. And then I love too the idea like on the front end, any excuse is a good excuse when you're looking for an excuse. Any excuse is a good excuse when you're looking for the excuse.
Yeah.
You just don't want to be that guy. And there are like, yeah, sometimes you're walking in at a massive disadvantage. I was hoping our Nuggets got the win last night. That Memphis game, I didn't watch it. I'm just kind of watching the scores kill us.
Yeah. Terrible.
Cause we need that 3 seed. And huge. It's still, you know, we're a game and a half back, but when you really look at like who we play left and who the Lakers play, yeah, it's only a game and a half. And I was actually in Vegas at my daughter's volleyball thing when they played the Lakers. When they had that game, will go down as the game. Just like a year ago when we lost to San Antonio when they had nothing to play for,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And it screwed all the seating up. That Lakers game, when we were up to win the game and we fouled up 3, that will be the game because that would have flipped everything, right?
Yes.
That's the game. And now maybe it gets that close. Maybe it ends up being a 3-game difference. Maybe it's a 1-game difference, but that was the game. That, like, it's 15 games left, but that's the game, my opinion.
Now that we're going there, because I actually wanted to go there with you on this. I think we just had so many things to talk about. That play, that situation, what's Coach Smiley doing in that situation? So to set the stage for everybody, Nuggets lose to the Lakers. The Nuggets are up. What was it, Coach? The Nuggets
was 3,
are
right?
up 3.
They fouled.
They fouled Reeves, so he'd go to the line, and then ideally, they're like, oh, he's going to make both. We'll get the ball in and we'll shoot free throws. Reeves makes one, misses the second on purpose. Ball bounces over on the left side as you're shooting the free throw. It just happens to fall into Reeves' hands. First off, are you fouling in that situation?
Well, it's a different game. So I will protect my opinions in the sense of it's a different game that two things are different. One, and I think I'm right in this. You can't put that fourth guy in the free throw in the box.
Correct.
Out.
So yep. I learned that
Before
I started going off.
It's a different, game. Now, we've had situations where we don't put the fourth guy blocking out because maybe we're up 3, right? And they need to miss it and kick it out for a 3. So you protect the two guys on the perimeter with your two guys, right?
Right.
Different game. So makes the first and then credit to Reeves on how well he missed. It is so hard to miss it. It looks so easy.
Perfect miss.
It's so hard.
Yeah.
So that makes sense. I'm always fouling when we're up 3. But when are we fouling? We are fouling roughly in like the 5 to 9, 6 to 9 range. Okay. So that's the first thing to factor in. Sometimes now NBA teams and some of the college teams are fouling even before that. In the sense of, well, the way that we want to dictate terms. I look at the more you foul, you know, they make the first, they make the second, you're up 1, then they foul. You have to keep making 2 free throws, right? Now you're up 3, do you foul again? I look at it more so like, okay, if Reeves makes the second, I think there was like 6 seconds
there
left.
There wasn't a lot of time. Yeah. Something like that.
You got to make a decision like, okay, now you got to make more free throws. The other thing in the NBA game is they have the advance. We can't advance the ball. So like when it gets really low in the game clock. There's 3 seconds, 4 seconds left. In our world, it's catastrophic because that get a good shot with 3 seconds is so hard. But in the NBA, it's so much easier because you can advance it, call the timeout, draw something up in half court totally. So it's a, I don't know.
Yeah.
I really don't know. But that game, yeah, makes the first, misses the second, gets the rebound, puts it in. Nuggets still had time to, I think, get a shot off. I can't remember how it ended to get to overtime.
Was that, I think that was the weird situation where Joker was inbounding it. Or maybe that was in overtime. I'm not sure. But I'm like, man, Joker, I want Joker and Jamal out for some, you know, out on the floor.
Yeah.
It's, because Joker's kind of that guy that's taking those wacky shots.
He's
late.
Taking them, but also he's the best passer. It's hard. I don't know. But like that game, as I watched it, I was sitting in Vegas with the wife. We actually, the daughter, they were doing team meals. So we went somewhere and just were sitting posted up at a bar eating some. I still remember we're eating these chicken nachos. It was really good, but we're watching that game. She's like, why? Like, who cares? Like, you know, I'm like, no, like this game will really matter. When they lost, like, are you kidding me? Now, at least they went to overtime, so they gave us more time to watch the game.
Right. Yes.
It was like, it's something to watch.
It was a fun game.
It was a fun game, but like, you know, I don't follow the NBA crazy. But I do start the standings every morning, kind of get look at the standings, because I do want the Nuggets. I'm like, if we could just get to a 3 seed, I just want to avoid an OKC. I want home court advantage, and I want to avoid an OKC as long as we can. And do I think we're good enough with the full team to beat? Yeah.
I do too.
But I want to avoid it as long as we can.
Yeah.
You know, let it shake itself out.
8 games remaining, I think. Yeah. I also would not love to play Minnesota in that first round, which is how it's setting up right now.
Yeah. The crazy thing is like between, even if you throw the Lakers, because they're still like, they're not out of the woods. Lakers, Nuggets, Timberwolves, Rockets. It's almost identical 3-3. So who knows? Like you could be 3, you could be 6. If it's like, if nothing else, can we just hold, like, and that was a big win last night.
Mm-hmm.
Like we are in 4, and we've got a good runway here.
Yeah,
you have to win games. We got a good runway.
Getting
so.
Guys healthy obviously is the big deal, and
absolutely.
You're going to keep seeing. I don't think, you know, just mixing and matching because there's Gordon's still trying to come back all the way. Peyton Watson's going to go up and down as far as his availability. So hopefully here in the next 5 games,
for sure,
you get that real test, Coach. This was fun today, man. Just kind of going all over the place,
you know. And really, I think just even like people said, what about the Bears? Give you the quick synopsis on the Bears. This is such a crazy time of year. And I tell people these, like, I'd say we're in like week 2 of a 3-week stretch of just chaos. What's going on? All that's going on is, and this snapshot for this week is player meetings, exit meetings. What are we doing? Who's going to the portal? Who's coming back? Whatever. And then at the same point, what are you recruiting? Can't recruit the portal yet because there's no Division I portal yet. Mm-hmm. That opens up April 7th, so people understand. Now, obviously, players have made intentions and, you know, are making announcements early on so that people, oh, so-and-so's getting a portal. Okay. Can't talk to the player, right? But those announcements are starting to flood everywhere in terms of Division I guys. But what you can recruit, Division II guys, because their portal's open, and international guys and high school guys. Now, we're not doing any high school stuff right now because we already signed Drew Payne and Jeremiah Hammond in the fall. Super excited about those guys. So international, and we are dabbling in those markets for sure, looking at, okay, international guys that could come over, what makes sense, and then Division II portal guys. And then our flow of like, okay, you know, starting with recruiting, talking to that, okay, is there interest? Okay, if there's interest, then it's like, okay, our Zoom one is like our introductory, put myself, the recruiting coach, the position coach on the Zoom, you kind of go from there. And if that keeps progressing, then you get to Zoom 2 with the entire staff with all the, you know, the presentation, the graphics, the PowerPoints, this, so like they can see more about what it is. We have a very systematic way to do this. Sometimes there's not enough time because this is speed dating, but we try to stay on that path. And then the most important thing is our roster. Who's coming back? And I've actually gotten to the point in time of there's 3 scenarios, right? And only 1 of 3 is great for us. Scenario 1, want the player back, but the player doesn't come back because the player can get in the portal and level up. If that's in their best interest and make way more money, I understand. But that's like, we want you back, but you don't want to come back. Scenario 2 is, we want you back, you want to come back. Scenario 3 is, hey, you've helped us so much, right? But we don't know if you're going to be able to play as much as you think you're going to be able to play in terms of like, what's my role next year, right? Forget the money and all that stuff. These guys only have 4 years to play. The honest conversation like, hey, you are great for us, but I don't know if what we think your role is going to be is what you want. So that's a hard conversation too, right? So like we just had all of our player meetings. We were in spring break last week, so it's just like recruiting, let these guys go home. We're banging out phone calls, Zooms, trying to, you know, get the dust to settle. And then the first and most important thing is player meetings right now, trying to understand where's everybody at.
Mm-hmm.
Fluid conversations. things can always change. But at the same point, the portal per se doesn't open until April 7th. So it's like, this isn't like last year where you're still playing and the portal's open. It's nuts. Or 2 years ago, where we're in the CBI, a couple guys decided not to play, which was Saint and DeJure, because they were already, I think, in the portal or getting in the portal, and they wanted to speed that process up. The market's just, it's so wild right now. So, like, this is where we're at of just, I had 9 player meetings and recruit Zooms yesterday.
Wow.
So, like, wow. You can't get anything else done, which is fine, because this is the most important thing, is developing your roster and figuring out where your roster's at. But it's just this mushroom cloud, for lack of a better term. It's, you just throw a bomb on everything, and everything blows up, and you're trying to pick up the pieces, and that's just what the reality situation is for every program in America.
Yeah, you're recruiting, and then you're re-recruiting. Coach, on the guys coming back, potential, I know we'll get into portal stuff probably more next week, but are we feeling pretty good?
I feel
guys
pretty
like
good.
Ranieri
and we don't know. Like,
Shields and
we don't know. I mean, okay. I really don't know. I mean, I feel like they want to come back. I feel good about it. At the same point in time, like, the full out 100% I'm coming back tweet, there's none of that yet.
Okay.
Because we're still having those conversations. I mean, there's multiple guys on our team that said, yep, coach, I'm coming back. I feel like I'll give you this. We're going to carry a roster, probably less roster, less, probably 14. We used to carry 16. We got to shave that down now. And that's not necessarily NIL and scholarship and rev share, more so budget. Like, what's the best way to try to protect our travel budget? And that sounds crazy, but that's something we have to do. So you're always trying to hold on to, you know, can you hold on to half your roster? 2 years ago, 7 guys came back, 9 new guys. Last year, 8 guys came back, 8 new guys. If you're on a 14, can you get to 7 coming back? Maybe. And then you factor in, you know, the Drew and Jeremiah. But I feel really good right now that, like, at least half of those spots, if not more, are solid. And then we'll know more as we kind of keep getting through meetings and this and that. But yeah. I always have the fear and the night terrors of, like, hey, one guy's coming back, you got to go get 13, 14 guys. Mm-hmm. And that happens all the time. Baylor won a national championship 2 years later, the whole team left.
Yeah, crazy. Absolutely
that
insane.
That terrifies me. That's not our situation. I feel good that, yeah, the retention, I feel like, you know, I don't want to speak for guys yet, but I feel good that, like, at least half of this stuff's filled in right now with retention and things like that before you start talking about recruiting and Zooms. And that's – I don't want to be in a spot of, like, hey, 2 guys are coming back. Let's go get 13 guys. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's going to happen. I don't feel like that's our situation in any capacity. I feel really good about that.
It's crazy. It's crazy that is even a small percent chance, but still a fear, like a legitimate fear.
Our boy Sonny, like, I think a year – he had one guy come back or 2 guys. And they had a great year. They went to the IT.
Very impressive.
So it happens.
What they were able to do.
It happens to great coaches and great programs. I don't want that to ever happen, but – we're fighting the fight, and we're fighting a fight where we have limited resources. And everybody knows that. So it's like, we're not going to outbid teams and be able to pay guys crazy money. So, you are walking into the machine gun fight with a sword.
Yeah.
And you sell what you can sell, a role, development, proven track record of winning, proven track record of getting guys to the highest levels of professional basketball. That's where the NIL for us comes in. But we still got to do the best we can to try to resource these guys so they feel comfortable.
Coach, this is next week. I want to get into there's a big story going on with Nebraska too, with their players that are there's NIL coming up, and basically the CSC, is that what it is shutting down a lot of their NIL stuff because it was helping Nebraska get over their salary
the
cap,
the 20 million,
which,
and everyone's over that cap,
everyone's
not
up,
us,
you're right,
like at big boy levels. Yeah,
I read
absolutely
some Big Ten athletic director anonymously said, yeah, it's not a hard salary cap, it's a soft salary cap, which also means that there's no salary cap. So,
because the outside money comes in, but like that's where it's like, can you get the guys, the outside money, can they get paid at that level?
Yes.
But yeah, like, it's happening everywhere.
I'm really curious to see how that case unfolds. Because if it goes Nebraska's way, then I think more of the same. If it goes the opposite way, then we might actually get some restrictions here. So I'll be curious to see how that one flows.
Let's see how it goes.
You mentioned track record earlier, Coach. I appreciate the quote you gave me last week after seeing me just absolutely stomp Tanner. Like, I mean, that was crazy.
It was a very uncomfortable race watching that thing. Very uncomfortable.
I'm still uncomfortable.
I'm glad that no one popped a hammy or even more importantly an Achilles.
That's close.
Like, those things can happen.
I'm still.
Get you an ice bath.
Honestly. That was self-serving today. The reason I brought it up, I'm like, I wonder how much coach would charge me if I just say, hey, I want to rent that for 30 minutes, man, because I might need it.
We should rent that out to people all over the place.
Yeah.
And then we could take that money and put it in the program for
NIL. Stuff.
Like, hey, we could do all kinds of stuff.
You could think about it.
Yeah.
So,
okay, I'm thinking about
something
it.
Something tweaked for sure for me after that. And I was like, I'm not doing this again. I'm thinking, you know, next competition is going to be like, I'm going to text you and see if we can get into Bank of Colorado Arena and just do like a free throw competition or something.
Yeah, something that's not as physically taxing.
Yeah, not doing
that. Rolling the dice, yes. Yeah, absolutely.
That was a crazy
one. Let me
know. All right, Coach. Appreciate you, my man.
See you, Brady.
All right, we'll talk to you next week.
The Two Man Game Podcast is brought to you by Renaissance Insurance, Ryan Hicks.
What's up, guys? It's head coach of the Bears, Steve Smiley, and I'm honored to tell KFKA listeners all about my guy Ryan Hicks and Renaissance Insurance. Like basketball, there's plenty of players in the insurance game. So how do you choose the best one for you? For me, I look for character, passion, dedication, and like a star hooper, talent. Renaissance Insurance checks all the boxes and draws up the winning play every time. Let them find the perfect game plan for you. Call Ryan at 970-674-8825 or go to team-rig.com. Go Bears!